Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm really, just really happy to be able to do this with you. It's a special day for me. I love praying on a Friday. It's a day that we are called to do penance, called to unite our sufferings to that of the Lord. I know many of you right now are suffering. I know you've got many crosses, perhaps in your own life that you're praying for. I want to pray in particular today, if we could, for pregnancy, for abortion, for infertility. I want to pray for those mothers who have children who are really ill. And I'll tell you why. As I was sharing with you just a few moments ago, today we remember Saint Stanislaus Paczynski. He lived about 300 years ago, but he's been credited with all sorts of incredible miracles. I was just sharing about a woman who had septic shock and her lung was being eaten by cancer and totally cured and healed. There's been miracles of brain injury being healed from lack of oxygen. But he raised children from the dead. And I just want to, there's that one miracle, the miracle that helped beatify him was the one of an eight-week unborn child. The heart stopped beating, and the child was dead, as I was sharing. It was dead for 3 days, and doctors, were preparing to remove it from the womb. And the uncle of the woman who was pregnant turned and did a novena to St. Stanislaus. And I think it was on day three or four of the novena, he just poured out his heart to him. On the eighth day of the novena, the baby's heart started beating again. And now you'd think that, with multiple days without a heartbeat, doctors already diagnosed that the child as being dead, the child would be born with severe and mental and physical handicaps. That wasn't the case. His child was born in 2001. Little baby Sebastian is his name. So let's also pray for anyone who's had head trauma, anybody who has mental or physical handicaps of any sort. We'll pray for them. And maybe we'll ask St. Stanislaus for some real miracles here, for real healing in that area. But there was another story that tells of the intercession of a young mother who was pregnant, and the ultrasound showed that the blood in the umbilical cord wasn't flowing properly. There were gaps in the flow, and that condition, according to the doctors, was irreversible. The baby was absolutely, without question, going to die. And the mother was preparing for the loss of this child. And the mother turned to St. Stanislaus, or to Blessed Stanislaus. He was blessed at the time. And trusted that he would heal her child. And they did a second ultrasound. They did a scan. They found absolutely no gaps in the blood. Little baby Michael is alive today and in great health. And they've got the documented evidence to show this. That's the beauty of it. We've got these tests that show that, yeah, something divine took place. So let's pray for that miracle today. I want to pray for anyone who is praying for a child, who's struggling with infertility, anyone who's trying to adopt. I want to pray for anyone who's having problems in utero. I want to pray for anyone right now that has had an abortion, carries those deep wounds, that you'll find the deep healing that God wants to give you, that you'll encounter his mercy, and that you can find the grace to even forgive yourself, okay, for that. And I want to take your calls too, so we'll pray together here for you. A lot of different intentions are coming in today, and Maggie will share some of yours on Twitter this afternoon as well. So if you want to put them at Drew Mariani Show, more than glad to go ahead and do that as well. I'm joined right now by Preston. He's my colleague here at Relevant Radio. Mm-hmm. He hails from our accounting department. Preston, always good to pray with you. Anything you want to lift up?
Yeah, I want to pray for my Uncle Miles. He's struggling with stage 4 brain cancer, and then also for him to have a reversion back to the Catholic faith.
Well, let's call upon St. Paczynski today to do that, along with St. Faustina and all the great saints. I want to pray for everyone who's written to me. There are a ton of telephone calls that have come in here, and I want to lift them all up. So many really important intentions. So I, rather than spout them off right now, I won't do that. But April, I know you write to me a lot. I just want to let you know that we are praying for you. And Sandra wrote me an email today too, and she's holding out a big cup for a miracle for her health and for her fiance. So we'll pray for her and all these intentions that are now pouring in as I'm looking at my inbox here to the show. We'll pray now. Let's just turn to our merciful Savior. And, you know, today's a special day. One final thing before we begin this. You know, I had mentioned the past 2 days that we were going to fast this Friday. I've been fasting. I know my show team has been fasting. I invite you to do the same thing. If you have not fasted yet, it's not too late. It really is not too late to get on board and to make some sort of sacrifice. But I know that God hears our prayers. I know that when we fast, for some reason, it moves the heart of God. So know that prayer you're praying for right now, I'm fasting for it, because my intention is for my spiritual family here, for you, for these needs that you have. So the sacrifice that I'm enduring today is for you and for your intentions. I just hope that we can all pray for each other. And if we do that, I know God's heart is going to be moved. We're going to see great things. Let's begin as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call this afternoon. This comes from Pedro. He's been listening for waiting for a very long time. Hi, Pedro. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, how can we pray for you?
I was just pretty much calling for a prayer that I want to make to Francisco Hernandez, that he needs a liver transplant. And you already know how those situations are. They're pretty rare, but I really hope he gets it. And I know that prayer is power. And honestly, I've been doing the rosary for people that need it, and I've seen healing. Yeah. So that's why I feel like if I do a rosary for him too, you know, at least 7 days in a row, that hopefully he gets that liver transplant that he gets, and he gets another opportunity in life and realizes all the mistakes he did and pretty much fixes them and lives the right way.
Is he living a lifestyle where they may not give him the liver transplant?
Well, they just transferred him to Chicago because they said that he could have better chances out there.
Okay.
And if anything, I would wish that it actually worked out for him out there and that they find a liver for him. He gets a second opportunity like I did in life.
Well, Pedro, I know you're a prayerful soul. I know you called in very early to the broadcast. I saw you sitting there on our phones waiting, and I know you pray both the chaplet and the rosary, two incredibly powerful prayers. Both, I believe, move the heart of God. There's nothing, you know, like the intercession of our Blessed Mother, and there's nothing like the intercession of the saints. And we turn to Our Lady, we turn to St. Faustina and all the saints as we pray for this miracle. But for some reason, within this show, and I don't have an explanation for it, I don't even know how to account for it, but we've prayed for vital organs many times, and we've either seen in dramatic fashion the soul no longer needing them. One person needed a double organ transplant, and they were totally healed. They wrote and said, I couldn't believe it. 4 days later, I was out of the hospital. We didn't need it any longer. To people getting these transplants, we just had an answered prayer the other day from a woman who called in from a child who they were praying for this special type of organ or special, there was a special condition that was related to it and came through. So let's just pray to God. Let's ask him right now. God's the creator of life. He can heal. He can reverse the situation, or he can send that organ that we need. And Lord, I just pray right now for Pedro. I pray for his friend, Francisco, and I just pray for the amendment of his life, but we do pray for his body right now and all those who are in critical health conditions right now who need that procedure or need that organ. I bring these souls to you, and on this great day, I just pray with great confidence as I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
We'll go to Portland, Maine. Next, Joanne is praying with us there. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Drew. Just two quick intentions. My best friend's youngest brother, Jay, a 65-year-old man, has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And I just quickly wanted to remember my uncle, Stanislaus Breen, who is now in heaven. My grandmother, Catherine Breen, named all her children on the days of the feast days that they were born. So Stanislaus Breen arrived in the world.
That's awesome. Well, that's great. Let's lift him up.
And I want to please mention Jay Riley, the fellow. I know that all the stage four people that are asking for prayers. And lastly, I'm trying to fast today. I'm doing my best.
All right. Well, Joanne, thank you. I know you're a great family member here on the show, and we appreciate your prayers and your contribution. And we'll pray for your friend's brother. Lord, I give you these impossible situations. I shared today the power of the intercession of Blessed, now St. Paczynski, you know, raising the dead. You know, restoring lost vital organs, you know, baffling doctors. It was through his intercession we saw so many miracles, the great founder of the Marians, the great champions of divine mercy. So I call upon you, Blessed St. Paczynski, to intercede for us, St. Stanislaus Paczynski. That's his first name. We call upon you, St. Stanislaus Kolska, and all you St. Stanislauses. I give you every one of Joanne's intentions, and I give you everyone united to me now. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask for healing. We ask for your providence. We ask for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, so Maggie is monitoring everyone's intentions that come in, both on our email, but especially on our Twitter account. And it seems, Maggie, Twitter's becoming busier than ever. A lot of intentions coming in. What can we pray for?
It is. Angela's praying for her son. She says that he's been using cannabis lately, and he moved to college recently. He's trying really, really hard, but they have noticed some changes in him. So let's pray for him. Irma's praying for her elderly mother struggling with depression and anxiety, and she wants to pray for everyone that suffers from any sort of mental illness. Katie's praying for her mom, Linda. She's on a ventilator due to COVID. Kyoto wants to pray for anyone struggling with addiction. Jeffrey's praying for his family and friends and for his fears to dissipate, and also for his dear friend Amanda, that she can feel better soon. Mary's praying for the repose of the soul of Tim from Altoona, Florida. Patricia's asking for the conversion of all her sons and loved ones. Bernadette's asking for John's immediate sobriety. And let's pray for, Murr's asking for prayers for their uncle Tom. He's gravely ill, battling a blood disease and dealing with memory loss.
All right, we'll lift them up. Thank you, Maggie, very much. We'll lift up all those intentions. Everyone on hold, everyone who's written to me. And we'll sneak another caller in for this third decade of the chaplet. Suri, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Drew. And thank you so much. And God bless you for Relevant Radio. And such a blessing in my life. My dear friend, David Brown, died this morning.
Oh, no.
He needs prayers, lots of prayers, so we can go to heaven. Please, Drew.
All right. Please. You got it. No, you got it. I'm sorry, Suri, for your loss.
I don't know if the conversion of his soul happened, but I'm believing and I know that God can do miracles on his journey if he could possibly, with the prayers, help him.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, we believe in the mercy of God, right? We trust in the mercy of God. And I often quote what Faustina wrote in her diary about how the Lord will reach out to souls, even though, from all apparent, you know, exterior purposes, it doesn't seem like they're responsive or they've lived that life. But God loves that soul more than you, you know, more than me. And he wants that soul to be with him. And I know extraordinary graces flow in those final hours. But our prayers also are so needed for those souls approaching the hour of their death, those who've gone before us, and especially the souls in purgatory. So just as St. Paczynski had great devotion to the souls and Faustina had encounters with them, let's pray for your friend who God called home today. Let's pray for the hour of our own death. Let's pray for those that we loved who've gone before us that perhaps weren't living the most virtuous lives. And let's just ask God, who is outside of time, for his unfathomable mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Union, New Jersey. Josephine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your ministry.
Thank
I
you.
Am calling selfishly to ask God for a miracle. I am on dialysis. I am actually sitting in the chair right now. I'm in the center. And I don't know what else to do. I try and pray, and sometimes my prayer is so dry.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd like to pray for healing for that. And if I need a new kidney, I don't know. I'd like to pray for my mom, who has ovarian cancer, is almost done with her treatment. And I'd also like to pray for my 28-year-old son, who's taking care of the both of us.
Oh, wow.
So, we got a lot on our plate.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for what you had to go through. I think of St. John Paul II, who was a great champion of divine mercy. He says, you know, never, ever give up hope. Never doubt. Never tire. Never become discouraged. Don't be afraid. I know. My heart goes out to you. I'm not in your shoes. But you know what? You have a gift, Josephine. You really do. I mean, suffering, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not in that chair right now, and I don't want to in any way seem disrespectful. But you have a gift. You have such a gift. St. Faustina often talked about suffering and how if we understood how meritorious and how powerful it was, that we would willingly and embrace it, you know, and that we would see the merit. And she said, I would suffer all the tortures and the martyrdoms of all the saints combined, if I can move 1 degree higher in heaven to experience God 1 degree more. So you have an opportunity now to pray for our spiritual family here, for the conversion of those you love. But let's pray for you, okay? Because we're here for you too. And I want to pray for that miracle
for you.
All right? We're going to pray for you. And Lord, I give you all dialysis patients. Hey, look, I know suffering's a mystery, Lord. I don't understand it. I do not understand it. Faustina wrote in her diary, she says, you know, when it seems that your suffering exceeds your strength, what you have to do in those situations, Josephine, Faustina said, the Lord asked her to contemplate his wounds. And he says, when you do that, you'll rise above these things. But there's a power in it. It's a mystery. I don't envy your situation. But God is our Father, and he's even our Father when he sends his trials. And Lord, I pray that you really touch her heart, that she can find a divine peace as she goes through dialysis. I pray for all those who have kidney issues, blood issues right now, all those in these situations, Lord, that are battling chemo and going through radiation treatment or battling cancer, all these debilitating circumstances. Take our suffering. We unite it to the cross. We ask that you make it meritorious and powerful and transforming. And I intercede on behalf of Josephine and all who are crying out to you now, who are tired from the weight of their cross, overwhelmed by it, Lord, for miracles. Today, I ask in a particular way for many, many physical healings, the vanquishing of cancer and absolute miracles that baffle doctors. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to New York City next. Anne, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling for the repose of the soul of my friend Tina, who died recently, for the protection of our country, for the people of Afghanistan and Haiti, and for my own healing and housing issues. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Great intentions. So generous, too, on so many different levels. But, Lord, I pray for Anne, for all these intentions he voiced, in particular for those housing issues that now face her. We do pray for our country. Be merciful to us. Protect us. Bring about the conversion of our leaders. Bring peace among nations. Bring about the conversion of others as well, Lord, other leaders. And I do pray for anyone who's gone before us. I pray for those who mourn, in particular for the souls in purgatory and for the hour of our own death. And I give you Anne, but I also give you everyone who's now on hold, everyone who's now listening, and everyone who's crying out to you, asking for your mercy. With confidence and love and trust, we turn to you, merciful Father, and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Stanislaus Paczynski,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Please let me know how God's working in your life. I know prayers are coming. It's a powerful day today. Prayers are going to be answered. So let me know, drew@relevantradio.com, and stay with me. When we come back, I'll share with you another saint who defied explanation, actually could fly.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that is a good tune. That's Gravity by John Mayer. Yeah, I feel like just listening to it. It's good to be here with you. Gravity. Why gravity, right? Well, tomorrow is the feast day of a very interesting saint. His name is Saint Joseph Cupertino. And he defied gravity. He really did. He had an ability to levitate. He had an ability, some say, to fly. You know, I think we live in a time, we live in a moment where, and this is not a bad thing, where we look to science for answers. I think God has given us our intellect, and I think science has done wonders and will continue to do wonders as we continue to unlock the secrets of creation. I think ultimately it'll point us back in the direction of God. But there are times when the laws of physics, when the laws of science are defied, you know, where there's no explanation, like I shared with you a few moments ago, where a child that's been dead for 3 days in the womb after the intercession of Saint Paczynski is resurrected and comes back to life, or where a lung that has been eaten and devoured by cancer is miraculously and totally restored. We shared these miracles of restoration. You know, I had a great privilege of, and I think it's part of my training, if you will. It's part of God's divine plan for me. I had the great privilege of meeting a mystic when I was making a documentary years ago. Her name was Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini, and I had shared many times with you about her and my experiences. She had these gifts like St. Padre Pio. She bore the wounds of Christ. She had the stigmata. She could read souls. She knew everything about me and my family and the girl I was dating at the time and all these different things. I mean, she had these unbelievable gifts. But one of the most amazing gifts, and this was experienced in front of competent eyewitnesses, was the gift of levitation. She hovered off the ground. Yeah, she would go into an ecstatic state, and for some reason, the laws of gravity no longer seemed to keep her down. And she's not the only one. There have been many, many saints that have had these incredible ecstasies, these incredible gifts. I mean, like I said, she had the gift of prophecy, healing so many others. Her cause is now open. But Joseph Cupertino was perhaps the most famous of them all. He lived in Italy in the 17th century, and he was a guy who faced rejection really from his earliest days. He was born into extreme poverty. His own mother, believe it or not, I don't know how this can be, but my understanding is that she didn't even like him. She grew not to like him because he was absent-minded and forgetful. He dropped things all the time and couldn't finish stories that he was telling, and he couldn't even finish sentences when he was talking to his friends. And, you know, if somebody has those foibles, you can see how easily they lose friendships and ultimately, you know, or almost even ostracized in some respects. He couldn't read, couldn't write, he was sick. He couldn't physically keep up with anyone his age. And he'd constantly go off into la-la land, if you will, right? So he somehow managed to get apprenticed to a shoemaker. And that didn't last too long. He couldn't learn how to repair shoes, right? So he saw a Franciscan brother who was begging in his town. He thought, I could do that. But the monastery joined finally kicked him out because he couldn't study. He couldn't even wait on tables. So, you know, no matter where he went, he messed things up. And he truly became unwanted and he knew it. But the strange thing is that he didn't despair. You know, he never despaired. I just imagine you might feel ostracized right now. You might feel depressed. You might feel alone. You might feel shunned. You might be upset over a broken relationship. Imagine what he went through. Don't give in to despair. Despair will do nothing for you. Despair is not from God, right? He didn't go into depression. He didn't take revenge. He didn't say, oh, woe is me. He went back to the monastery that kicked him out, and they made him a third order lay brother. And they assigned him simply to take care of their donkey. And that's actually where he slept. But what people noticed was that he had a joy. It was a divine joy. A man who was completely detached from things of the world. He didn't care about possessions or anything. He had this wonderful laughter in the midst of trial. And by a fluke, he was eventually ordained. And then his brothers found something else about him. They found out that he levitated. And when he levitated, he'd be in the air for quite a while. It's not like he just hovered a little bit off the ground. I mean, he would have to be tethered to the altar sometimes. He would move around like an astronaut would, you know? You ever see them in these spacewalks? That's how he became the patron saint of astronauts. Well, there's so much I could tell you about him, the ecstasies, the experiences that he had. But I bumped into an associate professor of religion at the University of North Carolina, and she specialized in Catholic history. And we invited her on because she also studied the whole UFO phenomena. We spoke to her in the past about that. And we were going through the book she wrote on UFOs. We realized, oh, my gosh, she's an expert on none other than Joseph Cupertino. In fact, her publications focus on Catholicism prior to Vatican II and the doctrine of purgatory, and she just finished a book about the history of purgatory that's now under, you know, advanced contract with Oxford University Press. But she translated the canonization records for none other than the great Saint Joseph Cupertino, and it's a delight to have back with me now Dr. Diana Pulsuka. Doctor, always good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, Drew.
I am delighted. And you are a very interesting character. I look forward to one day sitting down and having a great conversation with you, from UFOs to Joseph Cupertino. Let's talk about Cupertino first. All right. And
sure.
Let's talk about how he became a saint. I mean, he seemed like he had a lot of problems in many aspects of his life, but God had a mission for him. He was rejected from society, even of his own mother. Bring me back in time, and how did he enter into such deep holiness and spirituality that God would give him this incredible gift?
Sure. I mean, when you look back at his life, it seems that he couldn't help but become a priest a friar. So this was his vocation. This was his calling. And even though people here did, you know, human beings, people didn't think that he was capable, that didn't really matter because he was already that. So he was intrinsically a good, holy person. So he started having ecstatic visions as a child. And obviously, he was a person who is prone to going into, I would call them mystic states of consciousness, where he felt a communion with Jesus, and he had a devotion to the Virgin Mary. And so he basically, just as you said, he was a person who he was constantly being rejected. But after a time, he actually did become a priest, and the Capuchin friars took him in, and finally it was the Franciscans who took him in. But what's really interesting about him is that he levitated. So basically levitation, it appears, just like you said, like astronauts flying around. Now, what's interesting is that in about 2016, a person approached me who was very, he was actually an atheist, and he's interested, he's Mike Murphy, and he has a think tank out in California. And he wrote a book called Golf in the Kingdom, and he was very interesting in the extraordinary abilities that human beings actually possess, and he was fascinated with Joseph of Cupertino. And so he said, do you think you might be able to go look at the canonization records and find out if Joseph really levitated? And I was, you know, I said, I can do that. I said, in my opinion, he most likely really levitated, but it would be really great to look at those records and look at the canonization records. Canonization is, you know, the trial records. He had as his devil's advocate, the toughest devil's advocate a person could get. It was Pope Benedict the 14th, Prospero Lambertini. And I don't know if your audience knows who that is, but this is a person who wanted to bring a different criteria to the canonization of saints. So Joseph, who had also been tried by the Inquisition because levitation was associated with witchcraft at the time. Remember, this is in the 1600s. So basically, he had a lot of things that were not going for him. He wasn't bright, okay? So all records indicate that he wasn't very intelligent. His personality was, as you said, somewhat clumsy. And he unfortunately, well, I mean, fortunately for us, because now we have these marvelous stories about him, but unfortunately for him, he would tend to just pop up into the air and fly. And a lot of times his brothers would try to keep him down. As you said, he was tethered to the altar often. He'd fly up to the, you know, if you saw a statue of the Virgin Mary in church, he'd fly up there, and some of the brothers would actually fly up with him. They'd try to keep him down. But there was something about him and the space around him that defied gravity. So, so I got to look at these manuscripts, and there were many, many, many of them. And I was, I came away with a lot of information for the person who asked me to go, and it was fascinating.
I love the story of Joseph Cupertino. How did he end up becoming ordained? I don't know the backstory of that, because he could barely read. How did they ordain him?
It was almost like a de facto occurrence, because he displayed what would you call it? I think it's called extraordinary goodness. There's an actual word for it, and I'm sorry, I don't know it, but it's an extraordinary
heroic
goodness.
Virtue?
Yeah, that's it, heroic virtue. He was just an incredibly good person with no malice whatsoever, and because he displayed that in humility, he was just given, he wanted to become a priest, but he just didn't have the education to do it, because priests at that time had to be educated or were from a family where they had education, but he wasn't. So it was just by virtue of the fact that he was incredibly good, and that goodness was observed. There's one thing I'd like to tell your audience that was amazing about the manuscripts about him. When I did go to the archives, I went to the secret archive, it's not necessarily secret, but it's the private archive of the Pope. Right. And, I had told them a year in advance that I was coming so I could see everything they had about Joseph. I was going to do an exhaustive research. And so what I found and what was, what struck me most was that there were a good, we're talking about, each manuscript has about 200 pages of handwritten Latin from the 1700s. It's just fairly impossible to get through. But what I noticed was that there were hundreds and hundreds of pages of people signing their names to basically verify that they saw him fly. Now, you have to understand, Drew, this was during the Inquisition. These people could be very, very, they could get into trouble, like trouble equaling lose their lives if they lied. So I was amazed by that. Like, page after page after page of signatures, basically of some of the most credentialed people of different villages, because, he didn't stay in one village. The friars were so embarrassed by him that they moved him from place to place to try to get him to stop embarrassing them for, just flying, randomly flying.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Doctor, stay with me. I'm speaking with Dr. Diana Walsh-Pasuka. You can join us if you want to get in. We're talking about Joseph of Cupertino. Joseph Cupertino, an amazing mystic, a man who had the ability to fly, taking a look at some of these incredible preternatural gifts. That wasn't his only gift either. We can share a little bit more of that with you as well. But if you want to get in, 888-914-9149, taking a look at levitation when I return.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. You know, we often talk about the power of prayer, the mercy of God, the miracles that unfold as a result of that. God does exist, and I think that quite often he makes very visible his presence. We have that, of course, in the Eucharist, but we also see that through the miraculous healings that unfold and through the statues that sometimes cry and through these great mystics like Padre Pio and Joseph Cupertino and others, some who bear the wounds of Christ, like Pio, who had the stigmata and lose a pint of blood a day, or like Joseph Cupertino, a man who is legendary for his ability to fly or to levitate. Levitation is one of the most frequently mentioned phenomenon, believe it or not, in the lives of the saints. I mean, many more saints have experienced this gift. Some of the notable saints are St. Benedict Joseph Labouré and St. Angela of Brescia, if you're familiar with her, and St. Colette, St. Margaret of Hungary, St. Stephen of Hungary, who also was reported to have done that. St. Mary of Egypt, she's the one with that incredible conversion from prostitution to becoming a hermit. St. Francis of Paolo, St. John I think it was St. Faconda, if I remember. St. Martin de Porres is another one of those great saints who I loved. Another simple guy like Joseph Cupertino, so humble. And the list goes on and on and on. But Cupertino, St. Joseph of Cupertino, was one of those saints best known for it, who's experienced, he had so many levitations that were witnessed by his brothers in the Franciscan order and others, as my guest, Dr. Pasulka, is pointing out. She translated the documents for his cause. He's now regarded the patron saint of airplane passengers as well as astronauts. But during his time with many of his friars, the ecstasies and the flights were so frequent they are attested to in the acts of the process of his beatification. And for 35 years, his superiors wouldn't even let him attend or take part in some of the exercises in the choir or the refectory or in processions. Because he would go into levitation, he'd be on the ceiling, and Saint Joseph, was often enraptured in these remarkable ecstasies. You know, he's being carried away by God for distances. You know, he had 70 of his levitations and ecstatic flights were actually recorded. This is not a one and done phenomena; it went on many, many times. You know, during the saint's first stay in Rome, he went with the Father General to visit the Pope, and while bending over, the feet of the pontiff, the saint became so enraptured, he rose in the air until his superior commanded him to return. And the Pope, this was Urban the Eighth, marveled at the phenomenon and told the Father that he himself would bear witness to the occurrence. He said, should the saint die during his pontificate, he would testify to the fact that he, the vicar of Christ, witnessed this. Some of his raptures lasted 6-7 hours. When rapture overtook him at Mass, he always resumed where he had left off. Another unusual aspect is that his garments were never disturbed during the flights. Whether he traveled forward or backward or up or down, never were his garments disturbed. He had this odor of sanctity, another gift of these great mystics. And so Joseph of Cupertino was so on fire with just the love of God that one could almost just draw him into an ecstatic levitation by simply speaking of God. You know, that's how much he loved him. He's at a different level than all of us. My guest today, as I pointed out, has been involved in research on him. She went to the Vatican, went to the secret archives, translated the canonization records for him. And doctor, you're a scientist. You went there with other scientists. I think an astro. Well, let me. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Tell me what science thinks about this. What did your fellow scientists think? And what kind of studies done on this? I mean, if a man with competent eyewitnesses has been seen to levitate for hours and in dozens and dozens of times, I'm sure science wants to figure out how he did this. So give me some background on that.
Absolutely. So what was surprising to me was that I was asked to go and study with a person that works with astronauts and is a pilot and studies this type of thing, right? Rockets. Basically, I went with a rocket scientist and we studied the canonization records of St. Cupertino. Okay, so this is strange enough in itself. I was amazed at how many people, as I said last, when we spoke before the commercial, how many people signed off on this because it was during the Inquisition and they could get in a lot of trouble for that. But what does science have to say about this? Well, first off, science is careful not to say that he levitated, but scientists are asking how he levitated. So that should indicate that there's some recognition that something happened here, and not just to him. St. Teresa of Avila also had bouts of levitation. So Cupertino is known to be the saint that levitated all the time and couldn't control it. Nobody could control it. And as you said, there were strange aspects to the levitation. The thing, if someone was near him and just touched him, they would levitate with him, whether or not they wanted to. So this is also something that was actually somewhat frightening to the brothers. Okay, so he had to be tethered. Brothers would hold him down. So this is interesting to scientists today who are interested in flight and different forms of propulsion. So in terms of the translation of the documents, it's an ongoing process. So what happened was that I brought this information back to the people who were interested in it. They were all scientists, actually, and they were very interested. Some, not all of them were Catholic. And they wanted to know, how did this happen? Well, how can you explain a miracle of God to scientists? It's almost impossible. So what we decided to do was just translate all the documents into English and make them available to people who have the credentials to try to understand this. And that's the process that we're going through now. So this is a huge process because this is 17th century Latin mixed with Italian, Drew. And to tell you the truth, I couldn't do it. I could understand what was going on in the documents, but I couldn't. This would take me forever. There are more than 1,000 pages of this. So what I did was I found people who could do this, like experts, and that wasn't easy. So people at other universities who actually knew, it was difficult for them too. There were so many people that I contacted who were experts at Latin. But, Latin is a very old language, and you have first century Latin, medieval Latin. This is 17th century Latin mixed with Italian. So the translation, I was able to get the documents. The Vatican agreed that I could obtain the documents. I could digitize the documents, the whole canonization records. I'd actually have them. And the process of translating them is an ongoing process. And we've translated one of the, I would say, about 500 pages. And the things that were found out was that he not only levitated, but he could also, he discerned souls as well. Right. So he could do that. He could also, he had elongations, like sometimes he appeared to be very, very tall.
I never heard
sometimes
of that.
It was very, he could, in a sense, it shapeshift. So you can tell that this, he was somewhat of a very disturbing person to be around because of these things. Fires would erupt around him sometimes. He was a person who changed physical space around him. And this is what the scientists were interested in, mostly in how he levitated. So there's a book I can recommend. It's by Michael Grosso. I don't know if you've seen this book. It's called The Saint Who Could Fly. And he actually had problems getting this published because he is, he's a skeptic. He's a philosopher. And he went in and he did the research. He came to the conclusion that Joseph indeed flew. He indeed levitated. Wow. And this was a problem for a lot of the publishers he was publishing with. He finally published it.
I love it. Well, Doctor, I only have about a moment left. Judy in Illinois, she said she lost her faith completely in fourth grade, but she prayed to Joseph Cupertino, and her faith was restored in about 8 months. So he's interceding in a powerful way. And everyone else on hold, my apologies. Doctor, if people want more information on Cupertino, give the name of that book again. And
absolutely. Here. It's from a colleague of mine. He's a philosopher, and he went in as skeptic and came out completely a believer. His name is Michael Grosso, and it's called The Saint Who Could Fly.
Wow, thank you. Hey, Diana, thank you for your time and all your work.
Absolutely.
We'll have you back. We'll talk more about this. Wish I had more time to do it with you today. That's Dr. Diana Pulsuka. Say a prayer for her and for her family. I know she would appreciate that. Prayer does change things. And Cupertino, if you're weak in faith, read his story. You'll see how God can do anything in the lives of his creation. And that's you and me. We are his sons and daughters. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, you know, speaking of some of these mystical gifts, I'll share with you those who bore the wounds of Christ. We'll talk about that in the next hour, too. Fascinating.